comes. Chazere has the ball in. At the buzzer, he throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazere flew through the lane and lays it in.
Shades of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazere goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
And we are live here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. It's the Rye Show, the Pag Meter, Matty J. Matty, how are you today?
I'm doing fair to middling, if not a little bit better.
Fair to middling? Why? You look good?
Well, you've got to come up with creative ways. Oh, how okay. you doing? I'm fine.
I'm not unwell.
I'm fine, thank you.
I always like that one. I'm not
that's,
unwell.
That's a good one. That's one of my favorite comedians. You've got to come up with alternative lines, and you can never be doing anything but positive when you're inside Fashion Furniture. You're a one-stop shop for all goods and necessities needed for your home.
Okay, really A to Z when it comes to anything to do inside your house.
A to bloody Z.
Yeah, I mean, financing. The super sales team here will take care of your financing. They'll measure your room for you because you'll come in with an idea, and Kathy will go, I don't know if that's going to fit in that little room you have, but let's measure, let's check. Color pattern, everything.
You're wearing a beautiful ensemble with the blue style jeans with that beautiful button-down shirt. Why don't you go that look more often?
I don't think guys need to say beautiful to the other guy. I don't know.
Really? There's no shame in my game. Okay. I'm completely confident in my abilities.
Get in the game.
Get in the game.
That's your deal.
Put yourself in the game.
You need to patent that.
It's a good look, though. And you've got your brown boots. Yep.
Got the brown boots going here. Come on down. Popolo's Pizza here. Bobby, Kyle, everyone's here. We're eating some pizza. Get, because Bobby will eat a whole pizza by himself.
Popolo's Pizza. Wow.
Yeah, it has improved
1%.
Giddy up. Really has.
I threw it back at you.
All you have to do is mention the Clovis West, you know, fall apart against Clovis East when Bobby played at Selden Arena, and he'll eat a whole pizza. That's his therapy, Popolo's Pizza.
Well, unlike you and I, of course, now you still try to work out. I just dabble with my football coaching, but Bobby's still slender, fit, and is half male model slash actor. He slash.
Plays basketball.
He looks good.
Every
I was going to comment on that. Wow. I mean, yeah, what it's like to put on a shirt slim and fit. And of course, his buddy comes in, and here he's even better than that. Look at his look. He's right out of G. You know, look at the magazine cover. He's got the nice shoes on. Looks like he's going down to his little yacht to go sail around Millerton Lake. And by the way, have you seen the water level at Millerton Lake? I have never seen it like that.
Well, I wish you'd stay there.
Wow.
You think it'll stay there?
Well, no, of course it won't. No. We'll just keep draining it and letting it flow to the ocean until we get to a level that we think is right. But I very rarely ever, my entire career of living in this valley, seen that much water in Millerton. Yeah, I'm so happy that the climate change disaster, which has been hitting us, is in full effect.
Yeah, it's big time going on right now in California.
It's no longer, by the way, climate change. They're calling it a climate emergency. We're under emergency. 10 years, the end of the world.
12 years.
12 years now? 12 years, the world will end.
12 years, the ocean's going to go over in Florida, which I don't understand is a... If that's the case, how come there's still real estate going on in Florida? If that's the true case, that 12 years, we can't sell you anything else. 12 years, it's all going to go away. But you know what? They're going to still sell you some oceanfront property.
Oh, yes, they will.
So why?
And they're getting a pretty good price. I've been looking into it. It's not like they're giving it away.
So
premium.
So you're saying it's a scam?
I believe so, yes.
So let's talk a little, you know, we got to start always with the hot topics, the national news, and of course it's women's soccer, the United States women's team, and I know you're probably tired of it already. They won the World Cup, and now they want the world, they want more money, they want this. I'm going to be honest with you, Matt. I didn't know there was a professional women's soccer team.
Did not know that. Have not checked out that, but you can catch it on Streamline YouTube Video, apparently. That's their big contract, YouTube.
So
they don't have NBC. It's not TNT. It's YouTube.
That's my question. So we do know that we have one of the co-captains on the team. It's all about her. I think she's a hypocrite. You know, I'm talking about the purple fuzzhead lady.
Yeah.
Okay.
Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah. I think she's a hypocrite. She came down. She's kneeling. She's doing. It's all about her. It's all me, I. And now she's saying we want more money.
She's marketing well for herself.
She's a marketing genius. That's what she's doing best when she gets that job at Dick's Sporting Goods store someday. Whatever she does. But again, hypocrite. Be about the team. Okay. But I think this, you almost, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Yeah.
Do you compare this to women's soccer, to men's soccer, like the WNBA to the NBA?
No, I don't. Let's be clear on this. Fabulous victory. Unbelievable level of disparity going on in the women's game. Clearly, there's about three clubs that have a shot, USA being clearly the dominant one. Why? In America, the country that some seem to protest against, we gave the women's the rights to be great athletes. We've given them forums, venues.
Title IX.
And everything you need to build a splendid, sensational world champion, which we are. And I give that full credit. However, the men's soccer team could probably use a little bit of that toughness, that grit, determination, because our men's team, national team, is quite soft, quite frankly.
They really are.
The women's team does have guts and determination, and they have a little bit more of that killer attitude, I would call it. So I definitely do not compare the two. Clearly, men's soccer, it's a worldwide global event. It's a bigger deal. They have a professional league here, the MLS, which draws very well. Women do not have a professional organization league, if you will, that draws more than 10 to 15 people per game. They have nothing. But in the world of international soccer, I would just as soon never want to see the men's team again, and I would tune in to watch. Once every 4 years, I would tune in to watch the world best, our women's team, go at it.
We got Matthew. Matthew, welcome to the Rice Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You know,
it seems like I'm hearing the attitude that, oh, it's great, it's a free country and all, but yet when people actually do protest, there isn't a positive response, which shows a total lack of understanding of the whole concept of freedom. Freedom is only put into play in actuality when people are in disagreement. If everybody agrees and does the exact same thing, like in response to the anthem or something like that, we haven't even approached freedom yet. What we've gotten into is mind control and kind of herd group mentality, totally anti-American and un-American, in my opinion. So it's totally American to protest, and in fact, for those who appreciate freedom, protest should always be encouraged.
Yeah, I agree, Matthew. It's totally in the rights of being an American to protest. It's also in the rights for people to disagree with the protest and then protest against the protest, and that's what you're seeing here. My only concern is this, and it always has been this way, very simple. You get paid to play and do a job, or you get paid to go to a job. You can't protest at the job. You can't go to wherever you work and show up and make a 10-15 minute tirade in front of your coworkers. You will lose your job. If they want to protest, I believe there's just a proper venue, a proper time to do it. Just because you're blessed with great athleticism and you can sit in a forum with millions watching, that does not give you the right as a professional athlete, a paid athlete, to go onto your soapbox and demonstrate. There should be guidelines to that. The demonstration against the flag or whatever they believe, whoever is protesting believes the flag stands for, that is not the time and place to do that. Not at your workplace. That's my only gripe on the entire deal. I do agree with what you're saying, but not
why
at the workplace.
Why is it proper? I would just question further. I hear the point you're making, but why is it proper that someone lose their job for protesting in the workplace? The workplace is more of like a tyranny rather than a democracy. Why isn't democratization applied to the workplace just like it would be any other place? So I think it's really great that you're bringing up that point, and I think it's completely wrong that people are stopped from expressing themselves and protesting within their workplace. Are we for freedom, or are we for the tamping down of freedom? There's a lot of like sis boom ba rah rah, like smooching with the flag and freedom this, freedom that, but when it comes right down to it, people aren't really supporting freedom enough, and certainly the response to any, like, to me, the herd like impulse, like, my patriotism is not based based on the national anthem. In fact, it's not a song that I really like, but I'm extremely patriotic. Did anyone ever ask me where my patriotism lies? I'm way more into like the Founding Fathers and the Constitution and the Federalist Papers. That's what I'm a lot more patriotic about than like the national anthem. That means nothing to me. And so let's actually have a conversation about what our patriotism means. And to me, it's freedom. We need to go on the side of free expression, the First Amendment. I think it's great when folks on our national team are expressing themselves very vehemently. And come on, man. We should be oftentimes against those in power because we overthrew the king. You know, this is the American Revolution, man. When we are oppressed, we overthrow those who want to take tyrannical power
The
people. Okay. What does that remind you of?
It reminds me of progressive socialism at its finest. But however, to answer your first part of what you believe is right or wrong, and that's your opinion, and I love it. I love the fact you called in. Here's the deal, though. I own a business.
Thanks for taking my call.
When you come to work at my business, it's time to do one thing that's most important. It's called production. And with production comes payroll. Payroll pays your way, and you go home happy. If you want to go on the corner and protest, be my guest. That is why you'll never see protest in the workplace, because we're running a capital business here. If you want to protest on my time, you can go find another job. Now, as far as the athletic playing fields, which got everybody up in arms, at events, at athletic events, if you're an amateur athlete, I think there's more cause as an ex-amateur athlete to make the protest at mid-court during the NCAA Final Four if we're not happy because athletes aren't being paid correctly. But in a professional setting, my job is to get paid as a professional, to go do my job. That is not the forum for you to go grab a knee or to do your my world is an oyster pose after you score a goal, attracting attention to me. Megan Rapinoe and others in the male and female world are splendid athletes. But I guarantee you the backlash would be much different. If it was a different setting, if it wasn't the LGBT community, if it wasn't a minority or ethnic issue, when someone else does that, they get killed. Right now, Megan Rapinoe's actually, by the numbers I show, actually is winning out in the polls of people in favor of her me status. We just don't happen to be those people.
Why is it me? Fair. I mean, it's just expressing yourself. I mean, I hear the point you're making. I'm not in complete disagreement. And definitely in the workplace, there are limits. And I could see as a boss, you don't want someone protesting on your time. You want them working. Totally makes sense. Just seems like why is it me oriented? Why is it anything out of the ordinary? Like, for instance, kneeling is a totally respectful action. It comes right from the church. Just even from a Christian perspective, it's totally not anti-Christian, but counterintuitive of Christianity to ever have a problem with somebody kneeling. It's a totally submissive and respectful posture that was actually suggested by a veteran, of a U.S. military veteran who had suggested that they do that instead of just sitting there. So to me, it's like it's a time where nothing else is going on. And I just don't. And like I said, I've never really liked the anthem. I mean, hey, and I have an English background. It's an old English drinking song. I don't hate it. It's just not a favorite song of mine. There's way many more American songs that I enjoy so much more than that. So it's just not a focal point for me. And why not if people express exactly what they want to? It's just as much a choice for people to stand with their hand over their heart. Why are you so into someone doing that, but you're not into someone kneeling? That seems like hypocrisy. To me, it's like, well, it's no more me. Any demonstration you make is your demonstration during the anthem. It should be your right to make it. Like, if you want to stand there with your hand over your heart, I'm not critiquing you for doing that, so I think you should let Megan Rapinoe do what she wants to.
Well, I thank you so much, Matthew, for the call. It's very insightful. Good stuff. Thank you.
Well,
thanks so much for taking my call. You guys have a great show.
Right, you too, Matthew.
You too. My question to me, I think, and when I say she's a hypocrite, I'm saying I don't think she cares about anything but herself. She hates Trump so bad that she's trying to get back at Donald Trump, the president.
Well,
and this is where she had the greatest focus to grow women's soccer, little girls' soccer. She had a chance to build the sport up.
Yeah.
And she decided to use the F-bomb every time,
you.
And she's not
thank
promoting her sport you. To raise more
thank
money
you.
For it. That's why I think she's a hypocrite.
She is not just, I wouldn't use the word, I like what you're saying, and I like all parties of this. The bottom line is you just nailed it, and that's what I wanted to hammer home. Okay, so now she has the forum in front of a worldwide audience to do what her political belief is, that somehow, some way, the LGBT community is somehow slighted in this country. We're the only country that fully accepts everything and gives everyone the free right of freedom of speech and everything else. We are that bastion of hope for the rest of the world. That's why everybody wants to come to this country. So I think her base of argument was way off base. That's why I say it was attracting attention to her.
Yeah.
The hair color different than everyone else, attracting attention to her. She's not a team player. But here's what really bothers me. Then she knows she has that forum, a chance to really uplift the youngsters of our world, of our community, of our country. And she uses countless times to show off her public drunkenness and her ability to say the F-bomb at a given notice in front of cameras. She's a loser.
Yeah.
I love the Americans, what they've done. I love the team. I love her ability on the soccer field. But anyone who follows her as a beacon of light, a guiding light to the leadership of where our country's headed, is doomed for failure. That's my point.
Well, I think she's lost about 75% of the country because of that. And again, you want to kneel, great. But here's my problem. Never put down a group. So if the military and you're losing respect for the people that the reason why we have freedom aren't unhappy, that means you're putting down a program or somebody.
Yes.
And you've said it a million times. If she wanted to just have a press conference after the, hey, I want to, you know, tomorrow at 2:00, I want to sit down and have a press conference after it's all said and done and talk about how we have issues. I want to talk to the people in charge, how we can make this better a place. I don't see that.
Left,
it's easier just to kneel and go on and
anyone.
Be about me.
I don't see that from anyone.
No.
Like I said, if you're a true amateur athlete, the people that should be protesting or at least be making scenes on television are the young athletes, the amateur athletes in the colleges around America.
No kidding.
When they're not happy, because you know what? They're showing up. Corey, you can say that they're getting an education paid for, but they're true amateur athletes going out there risking their lives on the field of play. If they have a beef, then you can have a sit down at midcourt if you like, and let's get this thing resolved. Why all these millions and millions and billions of dollars are being thrown around to universities and to television networks and everyone else. But in the world of professional athletics, and that is what Megan Rapinoe is certainly fighting for, equal pay on the World Cup stage.
She blew it.
On the World Cup stage, if they are not paid in that instance equal or better than the men, there is definitely a serious injustice going on because they are better than our men's program.
No question.
They play harder. They're more together. Their abilities far overshadow what our men are doing when they can't hit a goal from point-blank range. I'm tired of it.
No, you're right.
I'm done with it.
You're right.
But in the big picture, when they don't have a professional women's soccer program that's paying them any kind of worthwhile salary, don't blame the system. Certainly don't blame our government and others. You've got to go out and put proverbial butts in seats, and that's what pays the bills. And right now that's not happening, except for once every 4 years, World Cup.
Yeah.
And right now the television numbers indicate that there were a lot of people watching our Women's World Cup team.
Yeah, the people that want the money for the women, I bet you they've never bought a ticket for a professional soccer event.
That's the true hypocrisy of the entire deal. However, let's do rejoice in the fact that our women, based on the privileges that this great country of ours has given to men and women athletes and minorities and where we've come from where we used to be, that's a time to celebrate. There's a reason why those other countries can't touch us on the soccer field, because those other countries have held back women for so many years and years and years and never gave up the total respect that they do for women athletes in this country.
Did you watch the ESPYs last night?
I did.
Okay, here's my, and I know it's a make-believe.
At least she didn't say the F-bomb, though.
No,
she held back.
Oh, well, I know, because she probably liquored up. Who knows? But I want to talk about the ESPYs when we come back. We're also going to have Fernie Garcia, the Hall of Famer, today, talking about the World Baseball Tournament in Italy this year. Ti amo, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday. And Fernie will be going in August to Italy. We'll talk about in 1 o'clock hour. I want to talk about the ESPYs when we come back. Don't go anywhere. And also, you've got a big story with high school football. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk plenty of high school football today as well. You're listening to The Rice Show.
We'll be back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. Live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone, the number one furniture store really in California. There is nothing like it in California. It's the Pag Meter, Matty J. And they have the close, 4th of July still closeout sales going on. And look, Mike walking around, he's signing autographs. I mean, it's just a family here, Matt.
If they don't have it.
You really don't need it.
You don't need it. Yeah. It's just such a. I heard a customer come in earlier in the day, and I heard somebody told me, came from Merced, listened to the show. I heard you've got some furniture, and I just love the salesman. Yeah, got a little bit of that going on around here. What a showroom. And, of course, you got Flex Steel by Fashion Furniture across the way. Moe's Furniture, which is a real unique design element, to create a little character in your house for those that are interested in doing something a little bit different. Great, best salespeople in the business. This is all there is right here.
Yeah, Mike Dupree next door will take care of your mattress needs. If you have a lower back every morning you get up, maybe it's a mattress, right? He'll help you.
Could be. Maybe it's the way you sit and posture at your desk. Maybe it's something else you can do. Maybe you need to get your abs tightened up a little bit.
But that mattress will help.
Mattress always helps. I got a dandy at my house. It's really helped.
Yeah, you need help because you get hurt a lot. This is why the Cozia takes care of you.
It did. I spent 15 minutes in there, and now I'm doing my usual 2-foot flat stop, back jam, slam dunk.
So the ESPYs last night, and I think it's a perfect time when it's really the only time of year that all the athletes can come together, right after the All-Star break in baseball, so they all get together. But I was a little, I don't know, I realize the United States women's soccer is the hottest ticket going, and they got team of the year. They play 2 weeks. Okay, are you going to try to tell me the Patriots, the Red Sox, Toronto Raptors, who played 6 months, just went through an amazing series, all of them, didn't get Team of the Year?
Well, first of all,
is it just for the popularity right now?
You've kind of lost your mind on this subject now. Now you're getting into areas that, no, I have to be Matthew, the caller. I have to go the other way with it. What do you mean they play 2 weeks? They prepare and train probably just as long as any other Toronto Raptors run. They have a season of their sport. Then they have to get conditioned. Then they got to get on the road. Then they've got to collect the team. Then they got to qualify for the tournament. Then they've got to win. Come on, I guarantee when you add up the collective hours that they spent, it's probably about the same or more of any other of the team sports.
I'll give you that.
We just got a snapshot of watching them perform for approximately 2 weeks. It's clearly in the big picture, that's the politically right thing to do, is give the soccer club the championship. They galvanized our country. They were controversial, but they finished the deal. And I can at least say that. There were some moments during the World Cup and before the World Cup, leading in with some of the comments and all that stuff we were just talking about. I started thinking, you know what? It would just serve us right not to win this thing. Then everybody could shut up. But the fact that in the end, I saw a club team of great athletes come together, finish the deal, something the men just can't seem to do in the world of soccer. Our ladies finished the deal, and for that I think they should be rewarded.
Well, I think the ladies will probably be the number one sport in soccer here in the United States, and men's soccer is probably number 5 on the totem pole. And this is why we're never going to dominate, ever.
It's just shocking to me.
We'll never, ever dominate in men's soccer. It's the way it's going to be. Get over it. Even though we have 80 billion people, you think we can't get 20 superstar soccer players?
Well, we're always going to have moments of some singular brilliance that comes through our programs for the men. But as long as there's a little league that we call the National Football League. As long as there's the NFL going around taking the greatest athletes in the world
and
to
the
their
NBA
sport.
And the Major League Baseball and hockey.
I've always said, if the great NFL wide receivers, great NFL defensive backs, the great running backs, the great tight ends that could probably sit. I'm guessing someone like a Rob Gronkowski would have been an amazing goaltender. As long as those athletes continue to go to the world of football, we'll never have a chance.
Ever. And the other question I have, and I see running of the Bulls again in Spain is off the charts, but 3 people injured when running of the Bulls. Why are we shocked? Because I always root for the Bull. I hope the Bull just takes every human it can out.
Well, it's like what you and I have always talked about in the world of hunting. If you're going to entertain that as a sport, which I believe it clearly is, then let's give the animal a fighting chance. And the running with the Bulls in Pamplona, Spain,
they do.
They give that's the best event ever. They're actually going to give the animal a chance for retribution for all their mistreatment. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm going for the Bulls.
Yeah,
I'd like to actually do that with you. Unfortunately, I'd probably have to put you on my back and help carry you across to the finish line because you're going to be easy, easy cannon fodder.
No,
for the
I'm
bull.
Quick from about 3 yards, left and right.
Well, it looks to me like they've got to run a little more
but
than 3 yards.
But there's a lot more than one bull.
Now, you could just run immediately to the wall and then climb it and then watch everything go by.
I would rather watch it from the hotel.
That
watch
would work.
You match down. Oh, my. Yeah, that's. I just think it's the dumbest deal I've ever seen.
It's kind of the same deals where we, you know, let's get this straight. You're going to go out. You're on a bear hunt. I'm going to go out on a bear hunt. Where are you going? I'm going to go in Alaska. I've got the bear tags. I'm doing it legal. I'm going to go get a bear. And one of those big old Kodiak bears just snuck up on you and got you. And then you hear about
shocked.
It the next day. And we're like, oh, a man was eaten and mangled by the bear. And we sit around, oh, boy, we got to track that bear down. It's a killer bear out there. I'm thinking, really?
We're in his house.
We're in his house. We're in his home. You invaded his place. Not only to steal his goods, you're coming to take his life. Every now and then, to me, it's a little refreshing to see the bow and arrow guy go down.
The lion actually turned around and gets the hunter.
Yeah, the lion actually got loose and you know. And then there's always the guy that drives the GTO for a living, and he decides he wants to climb into the at the zoo. He wants to go over the wall and see it. He wants to get a good picture. He wants to get past the barrier, and he falls in and then gets mangled by the rhinoceros. And we got to tranquilize the rhinoceros, take it out of commission because of some yahoo.
Yeah, we're on news about that. Like, we're shocked.
That we're shocked.
Yeah. Hey, so you had a big story you talked about football.
Yeah, boy, this is
high
big,
school football,
big.
And it just seems like there's always a scam going on to try to get kids or players or schools. What's going on?
Well, I was taken a little back because over a year ago I was approached by, and if you remember Coach Rick Stewart, he coached at Porterville, coached out at Fresno High.
Oh, do I remember Rick? Real fast, I tried to get him a job at Watsco. I put my butt on the line. I endorsed him. 4 weeks later, he quits on me.
Yeah, well,
Thanks, Rick.
I go too far into the story, I don't want to indict him. You're innocent until proven guilty. He might not be, I have a hard time believing, but not aware of what his superior officers, what kind of scam they were trying to pull on the entire charter school community in the state of California, if not other places in America. But the A3 educational group that runs in charter academy world, they came at all of us high school football coaches all throughout California and other sports, sports that train in the summer to get ready for the fall, on a great fundraising mission. And the mission was clear. Sign up all your athletes that are working with you in summer, you know, the early morning lift sessions, on the field in the summertime activities. Sign them up. We will have you fill out forms to put them in a charter school environment as long as you have a credentialed teacher sign off that the kids are actually showing up, wink, wink. You will get $200 per student you sign up for this. That essentially gives you the greatest fundraising opportunity in the history of high school athletics. And many, many, many high schools, football coaches included, were wrangled in by this idea that as long as we got the parents to sign a consent form that they are part of a summer school activity linked to a charter school, they will pay us $200 or more in certain cases for every child we sign up.
You're thinking, wow, what a problem.
I right away, I'm thinking, what? So I did my due diligence, talked to everybody in administration. Is this something you've heard of? No one had really heard of it, but legally, there was a charter school deal because that's how you get paid in schools. You're paid by each single head how many hours of attendance you put into school. You get what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, sure enough, and we didn't sign up because it just sounded too funny to me. And Coach Anthony Gallegos, my spiritual guidance leader at Madera South, was
let
go of my Gallegos. Yeah. Well, I don't know, but, you know, I was pushing for it because it sounded like it's a chance for us to make money for our program for our summer stuff. But sure enough, State of California Attorney General's Office, the federal government, has linked that what they were doing was it was a scam. And they were utilizing charter schools that became members of their group membership, if you will, to basically lie, cheat, and steal millions of dollars from the government, from the state of California, for sending kids to basically fictitious summer school classes. They were going to football weightlifting, cross-country training camps, and they were getting credit, and money was being paid back to the programs. And basically, the part I know, where I know place coaches like Rick Stewart were involved in this, because he was asking me, well, what about the, we're getting late on our timeline. Well, you could backdate these papers so it'll still show that you had 3 months of summer school for these kids. That's when I kind of started thinking, this sounds kind of funny. Sure enough, funny business was going on, and it's cost the state of California millions and millions of dollars for this A3 Education Charter School Academy scam.
There's the right
show. And if there's
any
coaches out there again, because I know he was calling everybody, as were other members of this organization calling football coaches to get our athletes involved in the summer school program, give us a call here at ESPN. I'd love to hear your story of whether you got involved in it or not.
844-940-ESPN is our number. And the Rice Show, again, breaking news. This will be on every show, every sports show now coming up. But we're always, don't you seem like we're always ahead of the game? We talked about the transgender.
Well, we're ahead of this game because our good friend teacher, as you said, Anthony Let Go My Gallegos, was surfing and checking on things, and he saw a little blurb on charter school and being an educator. We go in there, he looks at it, sends me the link. Doesn't this sound like the thing we were thinking about doing? And sure enough, there it is, A3 Education. Busted.
Well, California.
Guy's taking money from the kids. He's buying a new house. He's putting money into other things, paying guys all these bonuses for getting more kids involved in summer school stuff. Absolute scam.
Yeah, and I'm sure they can use people like you or whoever they used it. Well, how many kids you have? Well, over Madera, they got 317
kids.
Oh,
I stood to make for the program. We would have made about $20,000 for about a month and a half to 2 months of having them doing something they're already doing, lifting in the weight room, working out in the summertime.
And we have 130 schools in our area that we follow. Yep. 130
yep.
times 200.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a mathologist, but that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
So California again.
$1,600 for summer per student is paid by the government to somebody. 1,600 times over a million student athletes in our state getting ready. You do the math.
You know, California already has many, many issues. Do you think we would be doing this?
Yeah. State of California needs to start digging in and start figuring this thing out. We want to talk about all this other stuff we've been talking about. Well, State of California needs to get their act together.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. But, Matt, football next week now, as of Monday, it's a dead period.
Yeah.
Explain to people what that means.
Well, it's like lay off the kids. Don't get them in the huddle. Don't get them trying to figure out X's and O's. Let them have a little break and enjoy the rest of the last part of their summer before July 29th hits on a Monday, and then we officially are into it.
And then, but that means is you could still go in the weight room if you want.
Yeah,
you can't go on the field.
Weight room can be open. There can be a supervisor or a coach in there if you have for obviously for safety purposes. But let's not get out there and let's continue to play football.
I think it's a great idea that they do that. I don't know how many people really use that rule because there's always going to be teams still trying to get that extra push in. Well, we're young. We got to still work, guys.
I believe that all sports that prepare for the fall campaign. If you could ever get buy-in from all the coaches, male and female, and all the sports, lay off the kids. Let them enjoy their summer. If they want to go and play, we're talking world baseball, want to go enjoy that, let them go enjoy their summer doing something they really want to do as opposed to mandating that you will be here in the weight room through the summer and you will do this. Give the kids a break and let them enjoy the summer a little bit.
Well, they have to take vacation. Maybe mom and dad wants to take them to Santa Cruz or something. You know, and if not, they get penalized, right? I know some coaches, no, you're not going on vacation. We got practice through June and July. Well, we had a family vacation set, and if you get penalized.
No, well, not a lot of coaches do that. Most coaches build into their calendar, all the guys in my circle of friends.
I hope so.
They have time off in there, but we are a little bit overzealous in our keeping our thumb on our young student athletes, and I don't know if that's necessarily the healthy way to do it. I remember it was part of a ritual, right? You would go into your final days of spring, and if you're in baseball or track and field or whatever, sport would wind down, and you're counting the days. Summer break is coming, and then you go do what you do in the summer. Now it's summer break is coming, and practice starts the next Monday, and you're back at it.
Back at it.
And it can be a little bit of a tedious, long process for these youngsters.
Well, I sure hope the weather stays like it is now because we've had a great summer of weather. Maybe the best of all time.
Best summer in my 20 years being in the Valley.
And we don't want to jinx it, but we just still think it's coming.
The only way that I'll reverse everything and I'll do it live on air and apologize to anyone that I've unfortunately, without trying, have alienated or offended by my idea that whatever's going on in this climate change world, this thing, the buzzword that all these folks are talking about, I hope it continues because the climate change I'm seeing is lovely. But I'll retract all those statements if it's October 27th and it's 100 degrees as we wind down the high school football season. then I'll say maybe there is something to this whole climate change deal. Until that point happens, I do not see it in the world of athletics. Obviously, climate's changed. Keep up with current events. They've been changing for a million years. But right now, this change, whatever's in effect, this cooling trend that we've been affected and seen this summer, I love it.
Yeah, I really do. I say we clean up the planet before there's any climate change.
That's my number one. That's my number one beef. Before you guys get off your onto your next soapbox, how about this idea? Can we have a litter cleanup campaign? Let's slow down a little bit on the glaciers are melting and Florida will no longer be Florida and you can get oceanfront property in the middle of Arizona. Let's get off that track a little bit. Let's start cleaning up the litter and the trash, specifically in this state. Used to be the most beautiful state in the Union. It's turning into a trash hole. Let's fix it up. We'll talk about other things. We come back specifically back to the world of sports.
Also, 1 o'clock, Fernie Garcia and the All-Star Baseball. We're going to be talking that. They're hitting Italy.
Hit it.
We're going to talk plenty of football.
Follow
right
my lead.
Back.
Hit it, please.
Okay. Let's be real. We'll be right back talking football.
You got it. Bye.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back, live right here at Fashion Furniture. This is the Rice Show. It's the Pag Meter. Matty J getting you ready for the weekend. Tomorrow, Matt, no zone show because of the exciting Giant baseball. But next week, we'll be doing the pole vault championship.
Pole vault
you
summit,
and I.
Downtown Clovis.
Nick's going to be on location. This will be you and I at Blast and Brew doing pole vaulting. They're coming all over the world for this pole vault. I'm excited.
It's hard to believe how long that's been going on, but I was there.
25 years.
I was there for the just moved into the valley, and I was there for the inaugural pole vault summit downtown streets of Clovis. What a unbelievable to set up that runway elevated with the pit and the and these are pros and young vaulters, girls and boys. But these guys are going over 18 feet, and you get to see it, feel it, and of course you've got all the flavor of the farmers market and all that going on. One of the great events, I believe, of the year in athletics.
Yeah, Matt and Amy, who own the Blast and Brew, and of course 10 Tavern, we're excited to be out there next week, and they're excited to have Matty J in the chair. So if you're excited, they're excited. But we're at Fashion Furniture talking where we're going to be talking football now, but I want to give a little love out to Chet Allison, the former Clovis Cougar,
Cougar
and Fresno City Rams, just signed with your Dodgers. So he was heading to Arkansas. The Dodgers came in and made an offer he couldn't refuse. So, Chet Allison, congratulations. And I think this guy has huge future to be a big leaguer someday. Big body, can swing it.
I agree. Extremely athletic. At that next level as you progress and maybe one day hit the major leagues, you've got to have a few intangibles, and he has that. You know, like you said, athletic, good size, good body, and, of course, that translates. And that's all they're in the business of in Major League Baseball is taking a young talent and doing their best to forecast. Now, what's that guy going to look like when he's 22, 23? Could he be the next Chris Yelich? Could he be the next young Cody Bellinger? And that's what they forecast.
Dodgers also have maybe the greatest athlete we've ever had in Valley history, Alec Gamboa. And he signed with the Dodgers. He's already in the system.
And let's explore that for a minute when we make comments like that. And people are like, oh, come on, greatest in the world. What, you know, it was the combination. You're talking Alec Gamboa, Madera High School Coyote.
Three-sport athlete.
Three-sport, top of the food chain in all three sports. But it was the sport dynamic. Okay, football. Okay, we get that. He's a football sensation.
He broke a record for a wide receiver at Madera, catching more passes and yards.
And he played that slot. He could run the ball, too. But, okay, so we know the football thing. Okay, and then you say, well, what was the other sport? Well, wrestler, state champion, dominating wrestler. Okay, football wrestling. What's the big deal? That's common to wrestle and play football. Here's what's not common. To be one of the best in the business at throwing fastball, curveball,
and a lefty.
A lefty, and excel at the highest level in baseball. I don't know many wrestlers who play baseball.
That's funny you say that because I was always thinking as a wrestler pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
One time, landing on his shoulder, good night, thanks for playing, it's over.
Well,
he never did.
Well, the preparation to be a state champion in wrestling in this big state of California, that's unbelievable training, pressure, lifting, moving the body in areas that are not even close to a football move, let alone a baseball move. And then to segue from your state championship, your wrestling sensation, and then roll out to the baseball dime, get on the hill, strike people out, hit for average. He hit, Matt, you know what? He is top five Mount Rushmore, the greatest athletes ever come out.
Yeah, no question. Alec Gamboa, and he just got.
And, oh, by the way, I've got one of those guys at my school in Madera, too, now. So, to anyone listening, I've got that kind of talent. And Tate Grantham, who's a freshman, will be a sophomore, who is a football running back, who is six touchdowns a game as a youngster growing up, had a great freshman year, and all of a sudden wrestling rolls around, and he state qualified. Didn't win the big show, but he was top eight in our valley, which is the number one section of wrestling, if not the state, the nation. Then went to the state meet, and then came back from that and said, you need to run track, and he's one of the fastest young freshmen in the whole valley. And then I realized, where are you going? Oh, coach, I got to leave the track meet early. Why, what's going on? Well, I'm one of the leaders in the CMAC conference in diving. He's a diver. Right? Go talk about those four sports.
That's unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
You also told me a story yesterday, pretty tragic, yeah, about one of your outstanding offensive linemen. Can you tell us the story?
Offensive lineman, defensive lineman. Of course, our love and our prayers go out to Eric Flores and his family. Was working in the fields in Kerman, doing with so many young great.
When was this?
This was Saturday. Okay. This was right on the weekend after the 4th of July. And he's working in the field, and they come home about 2 in the afternoon. Dad's driving. He's in the passenger seat. Uncle's in the back seat with another family friend. And car accidentally swerved into the other lane coming back the back road through Kerman and smacked into a semi-truck. Uncle in the back seat passed, died, and Eric Flores was horribly damaged, and they had to repair and put his leg back together and broke some ribs in his sternum, and he won't obviously play football this year. And he was one of those guys that was there every day all summer putting in his dues for an outstanding senior year, and he has to end it like this. Of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to Eric Flores and the entire family. Mother Jeanette went to the hospital, visited. Spirits are up. He lived. He's going to live. He's home now, actually. But he's going to have a long, long recovery back to be able to move.
Can we dedicate the Madera South season to Eric?
We are. We're going to put a sticker on our helmet. And so I tell the kids at those 5:30 morning workouts, and I don't want to make it about Madera South. There are so many great schools around our valley who have similar stories of tragedy but also inspiration. And the inspiration for the team is, think of Eric Flores. When you're tired, you don't want to get out of bed, you don't want to come to school on time, think of Eric Flores, a guy who did it morning, noon, and night, and still had the strength to go out, work in the fields, earn money for the family, and to have something like this happen to him. Eric Flores is our inspiration, no question, throughout the year.
Eric, hang in there, and that's a great inspiration.
And by the way, that was unsolicited. I appreciate you, Nick Pagmeter, the Pagmeter, to think of that.
The ESPYs last night, it was Rob Mendez. I don't know if you saw that.
He's I did.
JV coach with no arms, no legs. That was one of the greatest speeches ever. Go to the Twitter. I have it. I retweeted it. But what a great speech he gave. I mean.
Powerful.
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 And thank you to the school to give him a shot to coach.
Absolutely. Emotional tearjerker. Once again, recenters as we're going to get ready to speak with some great coaches, but of course these great young talented baseball players going to go play in the worlds out in Italy. They can draw inspiration for those who against all odds continue to persevere and move forward. I draw inspiration all the time. I was driving three of my kids to the hospital to visit with this young man, Eric Flores, and they were asking me, and I said, look, you draw inspiration from moments like this. My inspiration, and this is crazy. What was your inspiration, coach, when you were in high school? My inspiration was the hostages from America that were held hostage in Iran for all those days. And it was happening all during the summer. And we're out on those early morning running gassers and working out. And I used to yell across the group of my teammates, think of the hostages. How'd you like to be blindfolded in a little dungeon waiting to figure out what your fate's going to be? And we're out here complaining and moaning and bitching about a little workout, a little extra workout. Same deal goes for Eric Mendez and the things like that. I think these young baseball players and young students, male and female, all over this great country, draw inspiration from those who don't have it so nice. And that should be able to help you push yourself over the next level.
Before we take a break, come back with the Hall of Famer, Fernie Garcia's in the house. The women's soccer, again, had a chance to bring the world together, and they divided the world. Just like 1980, the United States hockey team brought the world, the United States, together. Remember, we were as one. It was one of the greatest moments. People there were alive then. But I just
think for all of us, gender and religions and ethnicities, if we could all just think about one thing, as you just got done talking about a man coaching, no legs, nothing.
Mr. Mendez.
That guy stands for something. And when you're on your job, if you can do one thing, and I get it, you know, freedom of speech and freedom to do this. And well, you know what? You don't have freedom when it's time to go to work and that anthem is playing and that flag is flying. You have to represent and follow the lead of those who sacrifice their lives for that. Whether you disagree with the words of the lyrics, you don't like the song, but you need to stand for something in your life. And I think that's the problem. When we lose the fabric, that's when we go down and bad things happen. When we hold true to the fabric, the good fabric that helped form this country, then we have a chance for success.
Well said, my brother. Well said. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, Ferny Garcia and the World Baseball All-Stars are in the house. We got some studs in. Also, we'll be talking high school football. Take your phone calls. It'll be a great hour. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Rice Show, 940 ESPN.
The one and only Valley's local sports leader.
Has the ball in at the buzzer. He throws up a shot. It's good! And we're tied! 76-all, Chazeray flew through the lane and lays it in.
Saves of Danny Ainge, Tyus Edney, UCLA. Chazeray goes the full length in 3.2 seconds to lay it in right at the buzzer.
We're going double overtime.
This is why we do local sports. This is the greatest show in town.
Central Valley, it's time for the 940 ESPN Rye Show. The 940 ESPN Rye Show is brought to you by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance. And now, here are your hosts, Nick Papagni and Matt Johnson.
Welcome back. We are live right here at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. This is the Rice Show, your Thursday Rice Show. Beautiful weather out. Pag meter, Matty J. Matt, great show so far. We had a lot of topics, but the weather is awesome right now.
It really is. It might approach 100 degrees a day. It'll be 102 or 3 or 4 tomorrow. But what I like so much is that it gradually comes on. I don't like getting up when it's going to be there. We know in the next probably weeks or August, it's going to be that 88, 89 when you wake up at 7 in the morning. But for right now, when all of our heavy work is done, in all these sports, everyone's getting stuff done early in the morning, it's heaven.
Really is, and Fashion Furniture is the place to go. I know we got a lot more new furniture, maybe customers coming in right now. And every time they come in, they go, wow, I had no idea it was this big. And you walk around, and it's unbelievable here.
Well, I had a guest came in earlier, and I overheard talking to one of the sales representatives here, the great team, family team they have here, commenting about, I'm looking for a table, but I want wrought iron, I want an element of wood, and I need some decorative item. Oh, yeah, right over here. This,
right
instantaneous.
Away.
So there's so much selection in all the Fashion Furniture family of stores that are in this neighborhood, where you're going to find it, as you said, from mattresses to the Moe's Furniture, which is a real, you need to go into the Moe's Furniture showroom and check that out with all the great creative ideas to give yourself a little difference in your home. And then, of course, this place here, where I understand that the Albatross, the great Howard Hughes aircraft was housed in this hangar. That's how big and how many square foot this showroom is, Nick.
No question about it. It all happens at Fashion Furniture, El Paso, Blackstone. Come on, hang out with us, and bring comfortable shoes because you're going to do a lot of walking here. You could put, 1,500 steps in your little walkathon in your phone by the time you leave here. Right?
You just pulled that out, didn't you? You just pulled that out? You got caught. This is what happens in the radio. You get caught. You're looking ahead.
Well, there's a lot of steps you could put in
here. So the World Baseball Tournament going
in. I don't know how many steps you're putting in, but we put in 1,500 steps, 15,000 steps before.
Okay, I'm getting critical. I'm going to judge you right now as you get close to now introducing what we're getting ready to talk about. I want to hear your introduction and see how good you are.
We got one of the greatest Fresno legends in the house. Fernie Garcia has been around Fresno baseball for a long time. And this is what, the 38th year of the World Baseball Tournament. Fernie, welcome in.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having us on the show, me and a few of my players that are here today.
Matt, you know what I love about Fernie? Every baseball dinner I go to, he's supporting every high school dinner. He's always there with his lovely wife.
Well, I love to eat.
Well, and spend money.
I do. I try to support just about every high school and program that has them dinner dances and stuff. And it's a lot of fun, and I meet a lot of people, and it's just a great time.
And you know, when I MC, who do I introduce? Fernie Garcia. They're the legends in the house. And he knows he's going to get that call.
Now, Coach, this has been going on. We've had you on the show here for a few years now, coming on this time of year. Tell us about what's getting ready to hit, the 34th. What year are we in now?
This is year number 38.
The 38.
I just said 38.
I wasn't listening.
Okay.
I was critiquing. I wasn't listening. 38th World Baseball Boys Baseball Tournament. How long have you been involved in this? All 38 is something you put together? Tell us about the background of this tournament.
Well, I've been around for all 38 from the very, very first one. Actually, this is the 39th year that we've done this. We went down to the Los Angeles area back in 1981. There was going to be a team from Japan coming to town, and we were invited to go down there and just play some exhibition games.
You reached out to them, or they reached out, they're looking for some teams. We need some high school level type kids to go down and play these games.
There's a big Japanese community down in Gardena, down by Los Angeles, and they had contacts in Japan. They brought a team over, and it was going to be a team from Mexico, a team from San Diego, Gardena, Japan, and us. And we played some exhibition games, and it was such a great time that the Japanese Boys League came up with the idea, hey, if we have a tournament, you know, in Japan next year, will you guys come? And of course, I was asked to help coach that first team, and Mr. Zenimura came to me and asked if I wanted to go to Japan. And, hell, I'd never been on an airplane to go across town. I'm going to get on a plane and travel for 11 hours. But, yeah, I went. And thinking it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing in 1982, thinking, you know, this was a great time. You know, it was a very special time. And next thing you know, it was in San Diego the next year, Japan the following year, Mexico City, Australia, Italy, Brazil. We've been to a lot of places over the 38 years. And there's a couple of us that have been involved since day one.
Well, for 38 years, you obviously have seen change in the game of baseball around the world. What strikes you as the biggest change that you've seen from the beginning 39 years ago to where it's at today, the influence that baseball, our great sport in America, has turned onto the world?
Well, first of all, the other countries that really, baseball wasn't a big sport in their country, like Australia,
yeah,
and like Italy.
Yeah.
You know, when they first got into the tournament, they weren't that good. We would have a team from Australia come here, 18-year-olds, and my 14s and 15s would play them, and we'd beat them. They weren't that good. But over the years, you know, they've got baseball academies now. They're getting better and better. Same with the team from Italy. They're getting better and better. And, of course, Japan's always good, and so is Korea. They've had baseball there for a long, long time. But I think, you know, baseball in America has had a big influence on the mother teams that are starting to improve.
I do know Australia won't come back, Matt, because Pat Meter and the old guys crushed them, and they won't come back anymore. We're done with that, Fresno, eh? I know they were talking, you know. But Fernie Garcia in the house, my son-in-law, Nick Folio, his great dad, America Folio, both went to Italy, so the same trip, and they're not happy. They want to go back to Italy, but they had the greatest time in their life.
Well, and we're going to the same place. You know, we're going to go to Rome. Well, we're going to stay the whole time in a town called Nettuno. It's about an hour south of Rome, and it's right on the ocean. It's just a beautiful town. We were there back in 2009 when the Folios came. And We're going to play some practice games. We're going to tour Rome a couple times, take the boys to the Vatican City and go see St. Peter's Church and St. Peter's Square. We're going to go to the Colosseum and take them to see that. And
take
then we're,
batting practice, Colosseum.
Yeah, there's plenty of room. And then it was plenty of room to take batting practice in St. Peter's Square, but I don't think we can get away with that. And then one day we're going to take them, put them on a bus, and we're all going to go up to, I don't know if it's north or south. We're going to go to Naples, and we're going to have pizza.
Now,
as
Nick,
we said,
Nick Foligno said he threw a three-hitter against Japan. Is that true?
If Nick Foligno said it, it's got to be true.
Okay, good. I just was wondering. Fernie Garcia in the house. So let's talk about this team. How does this compare to some of your great teams?
Well, you know, I think we got a pretty good club. We're a little bit young. I do have 12 guys from the Fresno County area, from all over. And I have a connection in Texas. And one of the players from Texas, his uncle is good friends with Mike Mazzoni, kind of a long story. Yeah. Mike Mazzoni coached this guy. He lives in Texas. He coaches the travel team. He had a nephew, came with us last year as a 13-year-old. And
his uncle's Nolan Ryan.
Yes, his name is, yes, Jackson Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, another Jackson.
So anyway, they had given me a call, say, hey, we got some other guys. You know, they heard about the trip to Australia last year. You know, any chance we can get some, you know, get some more of our guys. Well, you know, when I hauled the trailer for Buchanan Robotics to Houston, I took a detour into Dallas and stayed overnight, and I met with some parents of some players. I was hoping to get two or three. I got five. Nice. So I've got some really good players out of Rowlett, Texas, right there by Dallas, and they'll be meeting us when we go to Italy. So I've got 12 guys from Fresno area, and I've got five guys from Texas.
Now, how does this work, Fernie? Because you're playing Japan and what Australia, you got Italy, you got Mexico.
Germany.
But, you know, you've got a young team, but there's some light. I know you told me stories about the Mexico team. There are 26, 28-year-old guys playing. And how do you handle the age group?
Well, I don't know if I ever said that, but, yeah,
well,
they've got guys
you told me about the Mexico coaching staff.
Well, I will tell you.
Almost
you know,
went to blows with them.
You know,
I love that.
I will tell you, when we went to Mexico one year, they had a guy throwing 97 miles an hour, you know, and in the rain.
Yeah.
And 15-year-olds aren't supposed to throw 97 miles an hour. Now, one of the guys that threw, and he threw like 92, 93, is now the closer for the Houston Astros, Robert Osuna. You've seen him.
Yeah.
He was with Toronto the last couple of years. Now he's with them. 2 years ago, the tournament was in Alameda. We played Korea. They bring in a 6'3" guy throwing 92, 91, 92. Our guys don't see that. We see 75, 78.
When the Dodgers brought over Fernando Valenzuela, the great pitcher, he told them he was like 21. He was actually like 39 when he came over to America. So there's a little bit of that, I'm sure, going on.
Yeah. We check passports and we check, you know, birth certificates and stuff like that, or we usually do. Just to make sure.
What is the age group level, the minimum, the max?
Well, they can be, it's under 15.
Okay.
But our age cutoff is April 1st, whereas, you know, because Japan is April 1st, so the International Boys League is what we call ourselves. We go by April 1st because Japan does. And so in the United States, I think it's August 31st or something. And so if a kid turns 16 on April 1st, this past April 1st, then they're eligible to play.
Problem with Japan, though, is they celebrate birthdays every 21 months. So that's the only problem. That's why, April 1st, I'm 16, but technically I'm 24.
So what happens is there's going to be 12 teams there, and there's six teams in each bracket. And actually there's five teams in each. There's 10 teams, five in each bracket. And I think we got a pretty good draw, and I always love playing Japan and Korea. We've played them every year since we've played in this tournament in the pool play. Well, we didn't draw them this time, but after the opening ceremonies on opening day, we play Italy. So we're looking for there to be a ton of people there.
Italy's
rooting
a favorite,
against
probably.
Us, and there'll be a good crowd. So we're going to play Italy. We'll play Mexico. We'll play another team from Europe. We'll play Alameda, and we will play, I think, Germany. So that's our group.
I remember you had to be 20, 25 years ago. You had a tournament here in Fresno.
Yeah.
And you're at Clovis West. We were in the stands watching, and I don't know, it was Japan playing somebody, and I'll never forget this, and it doesn't happen anymore, but as the kids came off the field, they'd line up on the third baseline, and the the coach would come over and slap them upside the head. Each one, if they messed up, we're like, he's hitting them. Remember that?
No, I do remember. And and Brazil was the same way. The guy, the head coach, carried a wet towel, and the kid making an error, he'd slap him around with it. And I had to call him over and say, hey, look, you can't do that over here. I mean, that's not what we do. And so the
international incident.
Hey, the other thing that I'd have parents suing me left and right. In Japan, if a kid makes an error, they call timeout. They take him out of the game, put somebody else in. Can you imagine if I did that over I'm not even going to mention any high schools, any particular high school, taking a kid out for making an error?
They do it in basketball. I see it in girls' basketball all the time. She throws up away. Yeah, get her out. Come on. Sit down. Yeah, I don't like that either.
This is a little little tongue-in-cheek, but there has to be a little validity to this. In this tournament, I know, is China coming?
China's not coming.
Okay.
A lot of times, the location of the tournament dictates comes to the tournament.
Okay.
A few years ago, it was in Brazil. So Peru was there for the first time. Argentina was there for the first time. They haven't been back since. They're so close. When we go to Japan, always, Chinese Taipei is there.
Yeah.
China's there. Chinese Taipei has come to California before, but Korea always shows up no matter where it's at.
I just thought with a communist country being there, is there any security issues where security teams during the China visit, were they visible or was it just...
Never
knew.
Never have seen any of that.
Okay.
It's just... It's a fun deal, man. Kids making friends with kids all over the world, and that's what this whole thing's about.
So, Fernie Garcia in the house, tell us about the kids. Now, when they get to Italy, they're not staying in hotels. They're staying at somebody's house.
Well, no, in Italy does not offer homestay.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be a little bit different this year. The last time we went, they put us up in a police academy, which was really, really.
That's where the polio stayed?
That's where the players stay.
Oh, the players stay.
Perfect for the parents.
Yeah. No, and it is. Because all the players and coaches were together. Yeah. All the teams were together. So we had eight teams at the police academy. And it's amazing what goes on when we're not playing games. I was asleep one morning. It was about 6 o'clock in the morning. I heard all this. I was on the second floor, my coaching staff and I. And we hear all this screaming going on like it was a gang fight or something going on outside. And I woke up. I ran to the window and looked outside. And Fresno and Japan teams were on the tennis courts having a wiffle ball game at 6 in the morning, just having a great time. Nobody understood each other talking, but what we all have in common is we all know how to play baseball, and that's what this thing
right on.
That's why we do this. Yeah. That's kind of a neat thing I thought that morning, watch those guys doing that and having fun. And so this year, the whole time we're going to stay at a hotel. It's called the Hotel Scotia Pensieri Hotel, and it's right on the Tyrrhenian Sea. It's 100 yards from the water.
Oh, come on.
And everybody's staying
there. I think you need the first base coach?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of these years I'm going for it.
And everybody's staying there. The parents are staying there. All the players are staying there for the whole 2 weeks.
Wow.
So
the parents are going, yep, we're going.
What's the weather like? Last question before we introduce these outstanding
it's warm.
Players.
It's hot. Not as hot as here. Probably 95.
Okay.
But it's not humid at all.
And there's no air conditioning.
There was no air conditioning at the police academy, but there was a nice breeze at night.
There you go.
And that's okay.
Well, let's take a break, Fernie. We're going to come back and talk with Jared and a whole bunch of Jacksons.
Sounds great. I appreciate it.
Don't go anywhere. It's the all-star team, Fernie Garcia. His team is in the house, so we'll take a quick break. You're listening to The Rise Show. We'll be right back.
The Rise Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back. Live right here at Fashion Furniture. It's The Rise Show. Remember, tomorrow, no zone show. So no zone show at Blast & Brew or 10 Tavern, but the following week, Nick Anderson on location. It'll be Matt and I for the pole vault championship. Are you going to try it maybe?
I did once.
How tough is it? Could you do 10 feet?
Yeah.
Eight feet? Right now?
No.
Right now, could you do 8 feet?
I need about a couple days to kind of get back in any kind of reasonable form.
All right.
But no, very, very impressive because when you're there live, and keep in mind that the elevation of the runway, the way it's set up, so 18 feet looks like 22 feet. And to see them fly and soar and bend that pole and catapult themselves at that height, it's arguably to be that close and up front and close. Most of the times, you even as a track coach, which I'm involved with, I'm never really allowed to be right there. I'm from a distance, and the spectators certainly from a distance. Clovis, you're lined up down the runway.
It's a fascinating sport. I know, Fernie, you probably could do it, right?
Pole vault?
Yeah.
I retired from that a few years back.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I snapped too many poles.
I bet you could. Fernie, you were a speedster back in the day, right?
Nah, I could run a little bit.
Yeah, there you go. So we got the 38th annual World's Boys Baseball Tournament. How many teams again?
There's going to be 10 teams.
10 teams. And you're in a round robin.
Yeah, it's a round robin with your bracket.
With your bracket,
yeah.
And then at the end, the two best play.
At the end,
or final four.
One, yeah, final four.
Okay.
One and two on each side. They cross play, and then the winners play.
So you really don't know who the favorite is because you don't know how old the other kids are, right?
We always lean toward. Japan.
You haven't seen your five recruits from Texas yet either. Have you seen them on film?
I've seen them on film. Yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of video on them.
Okay.
And?
They can swing it and they can run.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Some speed.
Right. Yeah.
And how about the pitching? Because pitching, you got how many games?
Well, we've got we've got five games for sure in 5 days. And we've got actually in 4 days we have five games. And then we have there's a chance we could play a sixth if we make the final four.
Wow.
Well, let's bring up some of these young guys.
Okay, we got Jack, so let's bring up the repeater.
Okay, we got Jaron Braz here with us today.
Jaron is in the house, who hit a home run for
here
me.
Here he is.
Come on in. Welcome. Jaron, introduce yourself to everybody out there.
I'm Jaron Braz, and I'm from Riverdale, California.
In Riverdale, tell us what happened last year you came on the show. What did I tell you to do?
You told me to hit a bomb, and I did.
393 feet on the pag meter.
390 plus on the pag meter. What was the takeaway from last year's trip that you just can't get out of your mind, a good or a bad? What last year did you come home with, man? What was that?
It was amazing. Hit that. It was finally a home run. I was waiting for it the whole time.
Fastball.
Fastball inside. Took it.
Oh yeah.
So Jared, who's the team that's who's the big rival now for you guys, the United States team? Ooh, you hate everybody. I love that. See, that's even better. You hate everybody, right?
Not everyone.
There's no hate. We don't use hate on
well,
the show.
Well, you want to beat. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay, they're a soft boy. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Jaron over here.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's really no rivals. Everyone's cool with each other. No one. There's no hate.
No trash talking?
No trash talking.
Because you can't understand them anyway.
Yeah. There's that.
So it's really, they could be, third base coach could just talking in his language, steal. You wouldn't have any idea.
Nope.
Right? You don't even need signals.
And what position do you play?
I can play first, third, pitch, and then and anywhere else wherever you need me. But my main spot's first base.
How is this team compared to last year's team?
Oh, it's going to be a good team.
Really?
Yeah.
Fernie.
Now, you have any experience, Jaron, with this group of any of these young guys you're playing with, where you saw them in maybe last summer or even during your high school career?
I played with Jackson last year, Caldera, and then I used to play with Jackson right here.
out at Liberty, Madera Rancho. It's good.
Well, Jaron, you going to do another one for me?
Yeah, I got some.
Oh, he's calling his shot.
Yeah, take it out for
me. No pressure.
Don't do it against the Italian boys. Come on. We're still learning the game of baseball over there.
We'll see.
All right? Take everyone else deep. All right, Jaron, let's bring up Jackson right now. Let's bring him in. Let's bring one of the Jackson kids in.
Jackson, Clovis North. Right? You're Clovis North Bronco?
Yes, sir.
Well, congratulations.
Jackson, what's your last name?
Caldera.
Caldera. So, Jackson, first time, have you ever been to Italy?
No, never.
Are you excited about this?
Yes, I'm very excited.
And how long is the plane? What did Fernie tell you?
How 13 hours?
Oh, it's 18 hours. Believe Fernie. Okay, 13 hours. If they strap you in, you won't be able to move. That's what he does for you. No. What are you going to do for 13 hours on an airplane?
Probably watch Netflix and sleep.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so you got Wi-Fi apparently, so that's good news, right?
You can download it.
Yeah,
I don't know how it works.
Yeah, yeah. You're out. You're not in the deal. You're not part of this.
No.
What Clovis North? Okay, are you tell me about where you play. What's your position?
I play catcher first.
Yep.
And
You got any brothers, sisters? What's the
family
like?
I have a little sister.
Little sister. Is she coming along to Italy, too? Mm-mm. Just you? Mom, Dad going to go?
Just me and Dad.
You and Dad. What a trip. Wow. And all your wildest dreams growing up as a kid and playing baseball, and did you ever think you'd be going to Italy to play a game?
Nope.
In a tournament with 10 other or 9 other countries there?
Nope, never.
When you got the call, tell us how you figured this out, that you might be getting a chance to play on this team.
I actually played another team, and Fernie was a coach, and he offered me to go and play last year.
Awesome.
Fernie recruited you over to go to Italy. I like it. Jackson Caldera in the house. So Jackson, no one's going to run on you. You're not going to – no one's stealing on you, right?
No.
Yeah, just forget about that. Now, the Italian kids can run. I heard the over and under. They can steal like 6 bases a game if you have to play the Italians.
Really? In the hierarchy of the teams that we heard about that are there, honestly, I have to believe, and Coach is here, but North Korea? No? South Korea, I'm sorry, holy cow. South Korea, probably, or Japan? Toss up there?
Yeah. Well, we don't know because we don't know how many kids are going to show up and what age groups.
It used to be Japan, but now Korea's won 2 out of the last 3.
Right, okay.
All right. Well, Jackson, best of luck. Keep us updated when you come home. We'll see him soon. He's a few
Jackson Caldera. You've got good name, a good ring to it. Jackson Caldera.
Let's bring up another Jackson.
By the way, my dog, my lab, is named Jackson, too. I forgot to mention that to the Jackson clan.
All right, Jackson, introduce yourself to everybody.
Hi, I'm Jackson Carrier. I'm from Fireball High School, and I play first base and pitch.
Are you a lefty or righty?
Righty.
Why aren't you a lefty in Fireball? The right field fence is 190 feet away.
It's like, I think it's 220-something.
220 feet away. You got to learn to be lefty out there.
Yeah.
Can you go that way?
Yeah, I can go off.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about you going to Italy. Are you ready for a 13-hour plane flight?
Probably not, but I got music and Netflix, downloading Netflix on the way, so it's all good.
Are you making good friends with these guys?
Yeah, I would say I am. Yeah.
Who's the guy that's like, wow, we got an ace on our staff. Who do we got?
Probably this Jackson right here. He's pretty damn good.
He's good.
Yeah.
So what position do you play?
Mainly first base, but friends been having me pitch. I throw about, I think probably about low 80s, mid 70s.
Yeah, he's pitching.
Yeah. Well, everyone that's come through so far, Coach, has got first base in their background. Is that what is that?
Seven
first basemen who will also do other things, of course. It's baseball.
What are you going to do for us when you're over there? A couple doubles? Are you going to hit one out? What are you doing?
I don't even know, to be honest.
Jared told me he's going deep for me.
I'll probably get a few doubles in there, maybe a couple singles, maybe a triple or two. I don't know.
Do you like Italian food?
Hell yeah, it's
okay.
Good.
Because you're going where it's all born.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, what other sports are you involved in high school?
In high school, just baseball.
You are a pure baseballer.
That's all I do.
They don't call Italian food over there. They just call it food. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, very smart observation
by
you.
From.
Beautiful.
Well, Jackson, best of luck over there, and have a great time.
All right.
Make friends, and I'm sure you will. Let's bring up Mr.
Say the
Medina
Jackson
Rancher.
Before you leave, Jackson. Yeah. Once again, say the last name.
Correa, C-O-R-R-E-I-A.
Jackson Correa.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We'll keep an eye on him.
This is like a Dominican team. We've got Caldera, Correa. Look at this group you assembled. Oh, here we go.
We're bringing in a guy who can bring it. Jackson, what's your last name?
My name is Jackson Boucher.
Boucher. No relation to Bobby.
Yes.
You don't know Bobby. So Madera Rancho is going to be a Hawk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about this team. And I used to live out in Madera Rancho. I love it out there. Great sports town. Tell us about this team and how excited are you?
I'm very excited. I've never been to Italy before, and the farthest I've been is Canada. So
yeah, I've never been to Italy before either, by the way.
Yeah, I'm very excited, and I feel like this team's going to be really good.
What do we have to do? And you don't know. You just hear about these countries. What do you know about them?
I know Japan's very good.
Yeah, fundamentally, right?
Oh, yeah. They're very, very fundamentally strong, and I feel like they're going to steal a lot of bases.
What's the strength of your game, Jackson?
Did you hear that? They're going to steal a lot of bases.
I'm a pretty decent hitter, I'd say, and I'm very defensively strong. I'm really good in the infield, and I can play a little bit of outfield.
So if you pitch on a Monday, when can you come back? Because I know Fernie. He's going to use you.
I mean, depending on how my arm feels, I'd probably say the next day.
I love that. See, that's my kind of kid. You know, I don't want to hear this stupid, pitch count. Coach has me on 98 pitches. I don't care if it's 498. You go until you drop.
Right?
Yeah, that's not what I advise there, Jackson.
13 hours plane flight. Are you ready for it?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a long one.
And it's directly related to you get some jumbotron guy like a pag meter sitting next to you if you get a nice slender guy like me or one of these other players next to you. If you get the wrong partner sitting next to you, that makes it more than 13 hours.
Oh, man.
It could be long.
Wow, that's not exciting for him.
No, he's going to get it. He'll probably sit with one of his teammates, I'm saying. And none of these guys look all that extremely, you know, anywhere in your category.
Well,
so
here's
he's good.
The good news is you're going to be excited to go over there. Jackson Boucher's in the house from Madera Ranchos. You're going to be, the 13 hours are going to fly. It's the 13 hours coming back because you're going to go, God, when we get back, we got school.
That's right?
Yeah, you're going to be tired. You don't want to come home after that.
Now, Jackson, are you involved in any other sports, Liberty?
Not at Liberty. I used to play basketball at RMS, our middle school, but yep. I'm mostly just playing baseball right now.
And you have, tell me the size of your family, brothers, sisters?
I have a little stepbrother.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it.
Mom or dad or both? Who's traveling with you to Italy?
My mom, my little brother, and my stepdad are traveling.
Oh, I love
that's
that.
Awesome. That's a family trip there. Good one.
This is going to be, because I know my son-in-law had said Nick Folio went. He still talks about the Italy trip. Him and his dad went. You're going to make more memories. Guys, have a great time. Thanks for coming in today. Fernie, come on back real fast. Thank you.
Did we talk to everyone?
Yeah, we did.
That was a whirlwind. That was good.
By the way, they are listening live in Rolette, Texas right now.
Live from Rolette, Texas.
They are listening, and the guy that I contact over there, he's the guy that coaches the team, wants me to remind you guys that all five guys are pitchers, and he says they all throw in the 80s. Well, I got to see it. I believe it. But
you're from Texas. A little closer.
Yeah, you come from Texas, home of a guy by the name of Roger Clemens. You've got an arm. That's all you got to say.
Yeah.
Texas.
They can bring it. So
everything's bigger in Texas.
And I'm looking forward to having those five guys and coaching those five guys. And, you know, and they're all 14 years old. It's a 14-year-old team, which means
they can come back next year.
They're already packing for Hawaii.
Now, how hard is that, managing and coaching and running this thing? How hard is it to manage, make sure everybody's getting time, your pitchers are going through the rotation? How difficult is that with a new group of guys that you're trying to get to learn how they respond to crisis moments and all that?
Well, it takes some work. You know, I'm bringing guys together that all come from different schools and different, you know, it's my job and my staff's job to, like I said, I do have seven first basemen, and they're going to have to play other positions, and it's my job to figure out where I'm going to put them and when I'm going to put them there, and then getting these guys from Texas, you know, I've got seven, I got 12 guys going, and then those five, and when they show up, we'll figure out a way to work them in. It just takes some thought.
When the Fab Five from Texas shows up, are they going to show up at the airport, or are you going to meet them over there?
They're showing up at the hotel.
Oh, they're going to get – they've got their own
– they're flying in on their own at a on a different date, and they're going to show up. They've got their flights already taken care of, and they've got their transportation from the airport to the hotel taken care of, and I've got their rooms lined up. And so they'll show up, and if we can find a couple of free hours, you know, we'll find a place to go work out, you know, go have a little practice, and these guys can get used to playing together with them. So
in our league, in the old man league, we played in the World Series in Phoenix, and we picked up a guy from Wisconsin. So if Texas is listening, same thing. We got a guy from Texas or from Wisconsin who's the best pitcher in the land. We got his ace. And after about his eighth wild pitch in the first inning, we said, we didn't get what we thought. And we put him out, and he wasn't happy. But he couldn't throw a strike. So I think Texas is a little different than Wisconsin.
Well, yeah. Way to set the plate and set these poor kids coming in from Texas.
No.
But I think they're going to be fine. Rolette, Texas is represented here in Fresno on ESPN 940. That's
California,
awesome.
Texas rolled together.
Was it Rolette, Texas?
Rolette, Texas.
Rolette, Texas.
I love it. And they're going to love Fernie as a head coach.
Absolutely.
Well, I look forward to coaching them and being around. You know, like I said, one of their guys, Emilio Luna, played for me last year as a 13 and did a great job, and he'll be a three-year guy. So I'm looking forward to meeting the rest of them. I met some of them at that meeting I had in Dallas when I was there back in April.
Fernie, before I let you go, when's the alumni game? Because I want to come out and watch.
Big game, next Wednesday, the 17th, 5 o'clock start with the barbecue afterwards. Everybody's invited to come to the game. It's all free. We're going to feed everybody that comes. It'll be baseball food, and it'll be, you know, we're going to have probably about 30 guys, alumni coming back anywhere from 16 years old to 50 years old playing this thing. Two of my teammates from college, the Rome brothers, Dave and Don Rome, will do the umpiring, and it's just going to be a great time.
And where is it at?
Buchanan JV Field.
Buchanan JV
Field. Yeah, at 5 o'clock, next Wednesday the 17th.
Get on out there. If you're an alumni of Fernie Garcia, we expect to see you out there Wednesday at 5 o'clock. Fernie, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Jackson and Jaron and everybody, good luck in Italy. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday. Have a great time over there. Thanks, guys. We'll be back. You're listening to the Rice Show.
Representing the United States of Fresno. World Baseball Boys Tournament. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
The Rice Show is sponsored by Bowman & Associates, Fashion Furniture, and Van Buren Insurance.
Welcome back here at Fashion Furniture. Coming up next, Tony D, followed by CG at 3. So you want to stay with 940 ESPN the rest of the day. The Pag Meter, Matty J here at Fashion Furniture. Thanks to Popolo's. We had a great show. Fernie Garcia in the house.
Yeah, Fernie is not only a great man and leader, mentor to these kids, but what a blessing it is to our valley to have someone like that who's helping these young athletes go on a trip like this. You know, to be a part of something for 39 years of the World Boys Baseball Tournament that started as just an idea from a team in Japan looking for some competition, coming to Gardena, California, to what it is today. Couldn't be any more proud of Fernie Garcia and obviously what he has helped develop with all the great people around him, I'm sure, a staff of coaches and everything. But what an experience. Well, I'd love to be a youngster growing up in the Valley. If I would have known this was going on, I probably would have, you know, sent my kids and made sure they played a lot of baseball. For an experience and an idea of traveling and playing international baseball and you're 14 years old.
And I guess you'll know if Asuna shows up and he's throwing 95 that maybe the other team doesn't have 15-year-old kids in there, because that's how you'll find out. I can't imagine a 15, 16-year-old throwing 95.
Well,
very rare.
No, but as long as there are competitions to be had, as long as there is the spirit of competition, there will always be the NASCAR driver that tries to lower his car for ground effects, or the baseball pitcher that stretches the envelope on his correct age. It's been long tried and proven. What's most important is you get an opportunity. I don't care if I'm 14 and I'm going up against a 20-year-old. It's the opportunity to play the game of baseball in an international setting. Unheard of.
And I'm seeing that in AAU basketball now. You're seeing kids supposed to be seventh graders. They're really ninth graders. People are staying back.
Well, like I said, that's been the longest tune in the history, whether it's soccer, football. Oh, that kid's too old. That's been going on forever. And a lot of times, I might point out, it's just parents' perception because the kid's 6'2" and he's 14 and he's 170 pounds and he throws hard. Certain kids, in case you haven't noticed, mature quicker than others.
Yeah, no question.
So just don't always assume because the guy throws, you know, an 80-mile-an-hour breaking ball and 90 on the gun at fastball that he's out of the wrong age.
And I think they're just making memories over there. It's great to win all the games, but they're playing in Italy against teams from around the world. How many people do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I went 2-for-3 against, South Korea yesterday. Who? Yeah, South Korea. Might have heard of them. Yeah, tomorrow we're going to play Australia, followed by Mexico. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
This is a great 38th annual. So it's one of these years I would love to go. And Fernie, when is it going to come back in Fresno? Ever?
22.
In the year 2022. Matt Johnson is going to throw out the first pitch.
No.
Maybe with one of the teams there.
No, I won't be doing that, but I'll certainly be there and supporting any way I can, for sure.
Yeah,
might throw it out. You're pretty good at that, I've noticed. I got more kudos from you throwing underhand at a first pitch from people calling in. Like, man, he brought it. It was like
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you can snap off in a little underhand pitch, too, now.
I learned how to pitch.
Yeah.
Just against the wall, learn how to pitch underhand. It's the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Yeah.
Trying to throw underhand, it's not easy. Yeah. Yeah. All right, Fernie, great job. But, Matt, football coming up. We didn't get a chance to really crank up football.
Yeah.
You can. I'm working on my schedules right now. I'm working on for that Channel 26 magazine. I'll have out in the top 26 players, but schedules will be out. It's football season already.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I mean, you drive around any high school around the valley, and you'll see if you're fortunate enough to be at the right time, they're out there hitting the sled and conditioning and preparing themselves for the season. And you've only got another, as you said to the kids when they get back from Italy on this baseball trip, it's like, oh, God, school starts in a few more weeks.
Unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, it's honest.
August 22nd is opening night for a Thursday night game. Mission Oaks plays. Opening game is August the 22nd.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah. We're scrimmaging the week before that, and we have a bye week, which you would call week one, what they used to call week zero. It's kind of always weird. You haven't even played an official game yet, and we have a bye.
It's good and bad. It's good, I think, if you're a young team, you need more, maybe get it down. It's bad if you haven't played a game and the other team has.
Well, everyone's played another
game. Yeah, so say they have the advantage to go through the referees and all the everything. But it is what it is, and by week three, we're all going.
Hey, to head off a potential story, since you're not on the Zone show on Friday, I know we want to talk football, but we don't have enough time to really dedicate to all the different schools. There's so many great football programs. It's going to be a great year with a lot of parity. I think you're going to see some new names that you haven't heard from in football in a while creeping into that mix. In Division One, I'm thinking, to me, the sleeper team I'm looking at, which is the Bullard Knights. I mean, you don't characterize them as a sleeper, per se, but they had an off year last year. I think they're coming back with a vengeance. I think Bullard's going to be very formidable. It's going to be interesting to see in Division One how how the Bakersfield schools respond to kind of, you know, watching Central and a few other schools up in this part of the section kind of have their way with them. It's probably that time for a Bakersfield school, Liberty or Bakersfield Drillers in general, to rise up and be relevant at the end of the year in the big boy division, Division One.
I see Liberty going to be very, very good. They're going to be big and physical. The Jernigan boys are back at they didn't transfer after all, so they're back at Bakersfield.
So they did that thing where they got in the transfer portal, and then they came back and transferred. Then they went there, and then they said, that's not what I think. Now let's transfer back.
Then they're back home. So I don't know what happened, but they're back in. Buchanan's going to be awfully good. We'll know on July the 29th where Kendall Milton's going to be going to school.
Well, and let's not forget the defending champion, back-to-back champion Central.
I think the big X factor for them is how is the quarterback going to handle away, or how's Central going to be without Trent Tompkins at quarterback?
Well, Tompkins, certainly there was two games that I was involved with as far as broadcasting or watching as a spectator, where without Trent Tompkins, they lose that game, and they probably get a lower seed in the tournament. That's how much value Trent Tompkins, a quarterback, brought to the party. But that still makes them an 10-9 to 11 win for this year. I think the quarterback position, you're never going to replace Trent Tompkins, but I think they're going to have enough at that position to continue the role that they've been on.
I think it'll be more of a downhill running offense this year. You will see, you'll see that kind of, they just can't rely on, hey, Trent, it's 3rd and 18. Go do your thing. They don't have that anymore.
Yeah. So and the next division's down, and you're talking Division II football. I think it's time for the Sandwich Memorial Panthers to once again flex their muscle. They're extremely talented. They're very well coached. Running a great organization at San Joaquin. And I think it's another opportunity to get a glimpse of some tremendous Division One talent. And I know San Joaquin Memorial is going to come locked and loaded.
And I think you're right. I've got them number one in Division Two. They moved to Division Two. Dinuba's going to be awfully good. Tulare Western is going to be off the charts good. So keep an eye on those teams. Tulare Union is now in Division One.
I was just going to say, Tulare Union goes back to Division One.
Division One. Clovis North is in Division One, and Clovis East will be in Division Two right now.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I think overall, this is probably where we've been critical, but also very positive at times for schools that bounce from one division to the next. I think this is going to be the closest travel, with the exception of maybe Tulare Union, who now has to do what they've done a lot over the last few years, it seems like, bounce back up to Division One to find out that that's too much for them, and then they go back to Division Two. But I think San Joaquin Memorial is probably based upon what they know or don't know from year to year, what they're going to get. Division II is probably the perfect setting for them.
No question about it. Division III, and they'll be playing, I believe, in week two, Bakersfield Christian and CVC. Those are the two teams going to be probably, I got them at 1-2, and they play early in the season, so we'll know.
Yeah, both schools. Bakersfield Christian has a very dynamic coaching staff, of course, with the Carr family and all that, where you just know that
Mason Hughes at CVC, yeah, I love him.
Mason Hughes is a defending champion in his own right. CVC, to me, is a program. You talk about a program that really was on the rise. Listened to probably a lot of our shows and got it figured out that you're a private, I'm not saying professional, but as a private school, there's no reason why we shouldn't have a handful of private schools that are on the level of the schools you see down south and a few in the northern part of our state. And certainly CVC has embraced that, and they're getting after it.
Division four right now, I got the top two teams. Porterville comes back strong along with Wasco in Division four. Those are my top two teams.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning Wasco. I got to see them live and in person, and they've got a tremendous – I saw a couple of their JV football players, specifically at the running back position, which are going to be very hard for anyone to handle. You're right. Wasco's got great tradition. They're a fine program.
They also moved Golden West up to Division III, so keep them in the mix.
Yeah, and Golden West needed to move up. They've been in championship, won a championship, been in the championship game. It's time for them to continue to progress and move that program forward. They're a big-time program.
Division V is the most wide-open league or division there is by far. Madera South, Reedley's going to be good. Woodlake, Strathmore could be the team to beat because they're moving up to Division Five. There's about 10 teams that are going to be really, really good.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of parity and teams that fit very well with each other in Division Five. That's going to be exciting.
Division Six, Orange Cove, is coming back. A lot of players, and that's another wide-open division. But I'm excited for football season, but you never, again, this is the most, you mentioned Division I, we kind of knew last year Central is going to play either Liberty or Buchanan.
Yeah.
This year it's pretty wide open in almost all divisions.
Yeah, and as a high school football coach, what intrigues me more than anything else is the movement of coaches and the new coaches take over programs and a lot of real, real quality, high-profile assistant coaches are taking into programs as coordinators. Joe Marquez at Fresno High comes to mind. A lot of great coaches out there that are moving around and accepting their role now as assistant coach.
Yeah, you're right. And how long does it take a new coach to get going in their new program? Well, it's been another great day. I want to thank Russ back in the studio. Russ will be there again for Tony and CG show. Russ, great job again. Thanks to Bobby Boy over here setting up our equipment. Popolo's Pizza, Fernie Garcia, Matty J, the best in the business. And I want to thank Fashion Furniture, the greatest sponsor we have, and they just love local sports, Matt. You can't beat Fashion
Furniture. Yeah, and I do want to thank, too, thank Russ. We know he doesn't get enough credit at times. He's the unsung hero of our station. Thank you, Russ, for all that you do. Yeah. And, of course, Bobby, who gets to set up this equipment and keep us running, as CG would say, keeping us on the rails.
Yeah, he does. Have a great afternoon, everybody. You've been listening to The Rice Show, 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
Get in the game.